Welcome to Are You Real Business, providing you with all the tools necessary to be mentally, physically, and spiritually prepared to start and run your own business. Our no-frills, fact-based, reality-driven strategies arm you with the knowledge to overcome the questions, struggles, and pitfalls that all come with new business, and the faith to see it through to the end. Now, please welcome the host of Are You Real Business, Michael McIntyre.
Hello, this is Michael McIntyre with Hey, Are You Real Business? I'm going to be talking to you about how to find the authentic you in business. Hey, you can still catch Are You Real with John Fuller every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Yeah, man. John and I are excited about that. We've got a lot of new shows starting, and we're excited about it. We're stoked. I really appreciate you tuning in and listening to this podcast. Listen, one of the things that I want to do and help my listeners out is to take practical ideas. And I don't want to get into big theory or the big swirl, so to speak. I want to get into real things that you can take out there and make some money and glorify God in the kingdom. And hey, help your family, man. How about working and getting way ahead and to where you can breathe a little bit in your business and help and go bless others? That's, you know, it's like my friend Lance Wallnau says, there's nothing worse than a broke philanthropist. Ha! Isn't that the truth? Listen, we're going to touch a little bit on entrepreneurship tonight. And I wanted to go into here and just touch on basically four or five different points, I think, to get this started. Because a lot of people are, you know, they say, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. That's awesome, man. That's great. What does that mean? Well, you know, I got a website going and I'm going to put something out there. And that's good too. But what is it that you're trying to get done? And what is an entrepreneur? And what does it happen? What makes it being an entrepreneur special? First of all, I think that the first thing that you have to do, it's a must. You got to have an idea. And listen, it doesn't have to be the most creative idea in the world. It really doesn't. All it has to be is a fresh idea, you know, a creative idea. Tell you a little bit about myself. I went right out of high school into the Air Force at 17 years old and spent 4 years in the United States Air Force in the Strategic Air Command, where I went to college full time. Thank you, Jesus. And got my college degree, got discharged from the Air Force and went into moved to Dallas, Texas, and got into the insurance business. And what I did is I learned the insurance business for the first 3-4 years, and I figured out that I could create a better mousetrap, and I did so. And what I mean by that is I created a whole different blue ocean marketing strategy in the insurance industry, to the fact that we sold $3 billion, that's B with a billion, baby, dollars worth of annuities, and revolutionized the industry. We really did. It was really amazing. And it came with its issues. It did. We had its problems, but we also had some massive successes. We were generating, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars a month through that company. So what we did, though, is we found a niche. We came up with this idea. And what I did, and the idea was inspired by looking at my business from a different angle. So what I mean by that is sometimes, you know, you heard that term, let's step out of the box, let's get out of the box, let's think outside the box. It's so true. You need to look at things from a different angle sometimes, a different paradigm, if you will. And what I did is I thought, okay, how do I tee up an insurance agent when he goes there or she goes into a house to create such an amazing credibility that the only reason that the customer would not buy is because of no need or no money? Okay, they don't have a need for your product, or they don't have any money. Partner, you're out of deal. You're wasting your time. It's time to cut bait. So first thing you do as an entrepreneur, you need to come up with an idea. If you want to start a business, or you want to, you know, in that business, maybe it's a service business, maybe it's some kind of new widget that you want to do. It's an idea. So what do you do with that idea? Well, first of all, now that I'm a Christian, I would be praying about it constantly. Give it to the Holy Spirit and ask God to give you some dreams. Right? Hey, sometimes, you know, you go to bed at night and say, Father God, I ask for blessings, I ask for dreams, and tell me, you know, talk to me, and talk to me in my dream. And I find that, you know, it might not come that first night, but if you keep asking, I think it does come. And sometimes your dreams come in very bizarro circumstances, right? That's right. You know what I'm talking about. So You might need to find somebody in your church or in your mastermind group that's a good dream interpreter that can help you out. At any rate, ask God for dreams. And so you come up with this idea and then take that idea, okay, whatever your idea is, and take it to your mastermind group. And we'll talk more about that later. But your mastermind group, you know, people you trust that are like-minded, generally within the same five-year age bracket of yourself, the same generally within a $10,000 to $20,000 a year income of yourself, and ask them, hey, what do you think? Listen, my brother Matthew, who I love, and we're so much alike. I'm 3.5 years older, but we've been in business together. We've had businesses together, and we've had, you know, great times together. We've had some bad times together, but we trust each other, and because we know how each other think and we operate. And anytime I come up with an idea, I usually, especially when I get real excited about it, I think, man, this is awesome. This is the deal. I'll call my brother up and say, hey, man, I want you to blow holes in this thing. I want you to man the torpedoes and see if you can sink my ship. Because why do I do that? And why should you do that? Because sometimes we fall in love with our ideas. Sometimes we fall in love with our business card. I'll tell you a brief story. You know, I had somebody tell me a long time ago, don't fall in love with the stocks. I used to buy a lot of Disney stock. I love Disney. And we'd take our kids. I've got three daughters. And my wife and I would take our children to Disney constantly. I mean, one year we went like four times and I fell in love with Disney and I liked everything about Disney and I bought a lot of their stock. And I had about $750,000 worth of their stock prior to 2001, September 11th. And after that, I had about $150,000 worth of their stock. And I should have sold it a long time ago, but I got the greed monster got a hold of me. So, and I fell in love with the stock because I loved the company and I loved a lot of it. So, long story short, don't, you know, have somebody tell you how ugly your baby is. And it might hurt. It really might. But it won't hurt nearly as bad as if you drop, you know, $150,000, $500,000, $3 million on this idea. So anyways, all right. So you get your creative idea. You take it to your mastermind group and say, hey, fellas, ladies, sink this battleship. Tell me where I'm making a mistake. You might come out of that meeting thinking, dude, not only do they love it, but they're going to throw money at you. Who knows? But if it passed the idea test, if it passed that smell test there, now you've got to go in. The second thing you do as an entrepreneur with your creative idea is start a risk assessment. If you're married, you and your wife, you and your husband need to sit down and talk about, get real. Are you real about your risk? And it's a scale, you know, 1 to 10, you know. One being, no, I'm going to put all my money in the freezer and underneath my mattress, and I'm going to put it in a passbook savings account, and I'm never going to take a risk. And 10, I'm going to go take it all to Vegas and put it all on red 23 at the roulette table. So there's your spectrum. So you and your spouse, okay, and if you're going in with a business partner, need to decide what your risk tolerance is on the spectrum. And once you determine that, and again, this is a prayer for consideration. That way you know what you can do. If your wife says, listen, I don't want you to, my risk tolerance is a 3. I mean, I don't mind you buying some blue chip stocks, or I don't mind taking the 401k and put it into an aggressive mutual fund, but I am not putting the money out there for this idea. Then, you know, that's a different dealing. And, or she might be a 10 and you're like, I'm scared to death to, you know, take this money out of the savings account. So you, and if that's the case, then you've got a real issue. It's a whole nother issue to get together. So, and maybe you don't become an entrepreneur at that point, or maybe one acquiesce and say, okay, I can do this with this amount. And it might be a compromise. So find out what your risk tolerance is, especially if you're married, and make sure that you both are on the same page. Because if you do go broke and you lose all your money, it's not going to be easy if the other person said, I didn't want you to gamble $1 of that money. So, or if you're moderate, then you decide. And maybe you say, listen, I'm going to take, you know, $100,000 and I'm going to put that at risk. And the rest of the money, we're, you know, that's no way we're touching that. So you come up with that. All right. After you develop your risk tolerance spectrum, when you make it that far, God bless you, you've done really good. Now what you need to do is plan. A business plan, the dreaded business plan. And I remember my first time somebody said, hey, why don't you bring me a business plan? And I was like, oh my gosh, what do I got to do? Because the only thing I had seen at that time was a Small Business Administration business plan outline. And I looked at that thing and I thought, this is not going to go well. Listen, you do not need a business plan like you just got out of Wharton College, okay? You just need a basic plan, all right? So how much money do you think you're going to need? How much time is it going to get off the ground? What are your expenses? So let's say you need $100,000 or $10,000 or $500,000. What's the money for? Is it for infrastructure? Is it for inventory? Is it for marketing? Is it for salaries, commissions, investment, whatever? So you need a plan, and you need to look at that plan. And again, take it to several different people that you admire and they have some kind of a semblance of success in business and say, hey, would you please blow holes in this? Would you please tell me where I'm missing it at? So you look at that plan. And this process from the time you get the idea, maybe down to your planning stage when you come up with a business plan, could take 3 days, could take 3 years. It just depends where you're at in your life. So I don't want you to have any expectations other than, you know, I kind of like, you know, I know I'm a person that I'm considered by some that likes to take action. And so, and that's, there's good and there's bad with that. But so anyways, you get to your plan, you find your plan, you measure twice, maybe you measure three times on this, and you get some really good people to criticize, give you ideas. And generally speaking, what I've found in planning is it's going to take twice as long as you anticipate and twice as much money. And there's going to be hidden obstacles, regulatory issues, you know, all kinds of things that could happen. It's kind of, you know, anything that bad can happen probably will in the first 90 days of launching your business. I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer or a Doug Downer, but I just want you to go into this as a real person looking at this. Listen, God might bless you on this, and I know God will bless you, and he breathes on this, and it goes straight to the moon, and it's a hockey stick all the way. Rock on. But sometimes I don't like to let anybody walk out of here naive and think that, you know, it's all going to go by plan, because generally it doesn't. I've never seen one that did. They just don't. So the last thing on number four, you got your plan. Okay, you got your idea. You've prayed about it. You've asked God about it. God brought it to your mastermind group. You've asked them about it. You talked to your wife about the risk factors. Great, you guys are on board. All right, let's plan this thing out. You're planning this out. If you have a partner, it's a whole other thing. But you're getting the plan down. You're modifying it. You're expecting the unexpected. And so you've got all that. You've taken some real dosing, real aspirin. He said, okay, this is where I'm at. Now you're ready to do the final thing. Four. This is the big one. This is what separates the wheat from the chaff, the men from the boys, the girls from the women. This is where it is, where you let the leather meet the pavement, the rubber meets the road. All right, that's all the cliches I got. It's time to execute. That's right, I said it. And so how do you execute? You just do it. Okay. It always amazes me, and I've coached a lot of entrepreneurs, by the way. I've got my new e-course online. We just launched it last week. Woo! Roar Nation's fired up. But you can check it out at rureal.org. You can go to my website, and then you can click on the deal and see all that. But anyways, execution, baby, execution. Look, it's all about, I'm a person of action, right? You know, to lead, I must move forward. You know, a lot of people move out of the way for the person who's on the run. Others are caught up in their wake. Many activity will create waves of success for people that will help get behind you or getting caught up in that draft, an old draft with you. And when you do that, that's called momentum, and that's through passion. And it instills confidence in your leadership. And then as a leader, you have the ability to encourage others and inspire them to greatness. And what that does is that a rising tide raises all boats. So you can go out there and glorify God with your execution, with your success, and you can bless people in that. Financially, give them a job, you can bless them supportively in all kinds of different ways. But you've got to execute. So if you just sit around, and you know, I've seen a lot of people get to this level and to get to this fourth issue, and they've done everything. They've got, you know, 6 months into this thing, they've even spent some money on websites and stuff, but they haven't pressed the button yet. They haven't pulled the trigger. And the problem happens is I talk about this a lot in the classes. It's called paralysis via analysis. And sometimes we just overthink stuff. You know, when I had my insurance company, I had about six different lawyers on the payroll, and they were all very intelligent, really smart people. And I would definitely talk to them and get ideas. But I would never base all my decision-making, all the things on what they said, because they're going to generally, really intelligent people like yourself, sometimes get caught up in your own brain. You've heard of double-mindedness. It's not of him. It's of the enemy. Listen, the roads are paved, literally paved with squirrels that just couldn't make up their mind. Ha! That's right. I said it. So listen, that doesn't mean that you just go out there and ready, aim, shoot, or ready, shoot, aim, right? Okay. You do need to measure once, twice, three times, but cut once, but do cut. Okay. And listen, if you fail, it's okay. You know, that's why you go through this and you look at your risk assessment. You don't sit there and bet everything all, you know, if you got $100,000, listen, don't put it all on the line. Make yourself hold something back for rainy days. The worst thing I think that can happen for some entrepreneurs, I believe this, is to have money. That's right. I said it. Ha! Listen, you don't need money. You need ideas. You need to go out there and get creative. We live in a world that we're so blessed with the internet. Look at the Facebook, the Instagrams, the YouTube video channels, the LinkedIn. My gosh, you can go out there and for less than $500 look like a Fortune 500 company. That's right. So don't get all wrapped around the axle and pulling the trigger in case you fail. You can truly go from point one to that idea to point four to execute in 4 days, truly, with where we're at, and be successful. Or, hey, let's say you blow it. Let's say you don't do anything. You tried it every which way. You persevered through you thought you were going to do it. Okay, it didn't work. Then good, stop it and then come back and reassess it at that time. The worst thing that an entrepreneur can do is to quit. All you have to do, failures are really good. As an entrepreneur, you're going to fail, okay? And if you don't, you're going to be probably the first one. I mean, you know, Mark Zuckerberg failed miserably coming out of the rattle. They almost went broke. Look, Steve Jobs got fired by his own company that he created, had difficult times. You know, they all do, and everybody does, and very rarely. And if you're out there saying, well, I never went broke, okay, or I didn't lose much money. Well, you didn't risk very much then either. You might have put $500 into it and lost $300 and said, oh, that's it, I'm done. And that's okay. That means your risk tolerance is not there. And to me, in my opinion, Michael McIntyre's opinion, you got to be a gambler to be an entrepreneur. I really think so. Because you're never going to be able to see a 360 degrees around on every corner. You just can't do it. You know, it's just not going to happen. And I think if you listen to the Holy Spirit, you listen to what God's telling you, and I think that's your intuition, and that's, you know, you hear people say, I went with my gut, that's listening to God. God's whispering in your ear. So that's for our first inaugural show, and Are You Real Business, baby? Come on. So those are the basic four things an entrepreneur. So I want to end this here, and I want to let you know that we're going to have more interesting stuff. I'm going to bring on some really interesting guests in the future, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to try to keep these things to 20 to 25 minutes because I know you're driving a lot or jogging or whatever you're doing right now. I want to keep it short and pithy, but I want it to be practical, baby. I want you to make some money, honey. So that's where we're going to be at. Listen, I really appreciate you listening. And spread these things out. Share them. Give them to your friends. Are You Real Business is going to be talking about putting cash, train riding dollars in your pocket and how you get from point A to point B. Send me an email. Ask me questions. We'll answer them. I'll get back to you. We'll text them. We'll email, smoke signals, whatever you want to do. I'm all in, baby. Okay? Because I really want you to be successful in this hashtag. So I also don't forget to check out the other Are You Real shows. Every week we'll release four new shows exploring different topics that will help you find God's purpose. And that's what it's about. And John Fuller, thank you so much, my brother. You're amazing. Hey, go check out areyoureal.org. areyoureal.org. You can find me there, Michael P. McIntyre, and click on the deal and you can go and check out our new e-course. It's on sale now. Have a great week. God bless you. And listen, Jesus is King, Lord of Lords, name above all names. I ask you to bless everybody, Father, that's listening to this podcast. Bless them financially, spiritually, and relationally. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real Business? For more resources, as well as specialized e-courses, next-level training programs, videos, and exclusive content, visit us at michaelpmcintyre.com. We appreciate you joining us and look forward to having you back for the next episode of Are You Real Business? Take care.